Greetings, salutations, good evening, and welcome to another installment of the COVID Report, the show dedicated to providing you with comprehensive coverage of the coronavirus pandemic. I am your host, Ukamelihle Wakwapovana, here to give you the show that gives you all of the facts, all of the stats, all of the figures, and none of the misinformation as it pertains to all things COVID-19. This installment of the COVID Report is dedicated to exploring the work still ahead for us to do to encourage more South Africans to head to their nearest vaccination sites to vaccinate, considering that we are edging ever closer to the festive season with the looming threat of that fourth wave, the looming threat of our inability to hit our mark and our targets set as a country as far as how much of the population we are trying to get vaccinated by the end of the year 2021. Now, it's been almost 6 months since South Africa launched its COVID-19 vaccination program, and to date, more than 23.1 million South African people, including adolescents, have received at least one dose, and close to 13 million people are fully vaccinated. South Africa's vaccination program is in a race against time, with the fourth wave of COVID-19 infections expected to hit the country in December 2021 into January 2022, according to the Actuarial Society of South Africa. Based on the group's analysis of the COVID-19 experiences in South Africa and several other countries at different stages of managing this pandemic, ASSA believes that there is sufficient evidence to suggest that a fourth wave is likely to emerge in December. Joining us to unpack this is Dr. Khongwana, who will be assuming the role of the Gauteng Department of Health spokesperson, and he joins us as a guest at this time on the COVID Report. Doctor, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us. There was an early prediction that was estimated on the arrival of the pandemic's fourth wave that reality would be in December of this year. My question to you is the Department of Health prepared and adequately resourced for the advent of the fourth wave of COVID-19 should it arrive, seeing that it's been expected for the last few months?
Good evening. Thanks for the title, although I'm the acting DDG Hospital Services in Gauteng Department of Health.
My apologies.
We are ready for the fourth wave because we have been engaging about it since the end of the third wave, because there have been predictions by modelers that there will be a third wave and scientists, a fourth wave in December or early January. So currently we have 4,407 beds that we had used at the peak of the third wave. And we've made a decision that these are the resources. These are functional beds. They have human resources. They have consumables to combat the fourth wave. We have a cohort of about 6,000 healthcare workers that have been employed specifically for COVID. And we are continuing to add on that number in preparation of the fourth wave. We continue to monitor our bed availability using a dashboard that we, as the Gauteng Department of Health, innovated last year, and we're still continuing to use it to monitor. We haven't stopped to monitor the activities of the admissions for COVID-19 patients and PUIs. We have continued every 2 weeks to monitor the security of oxygen supply in Gauteng, and we have the security of oxygen. And we'll continue with activities of monitoring COVID-19, which are the resources that we'll be taking into the fourth wave. But remember, nobody is an expert of how it's actually going to behave when we hit it or when it hits us. But we as ready as we can be.
Now, Doctor, as it pertains to the matter of addressing the degree of vaccine hesitancy that still exists and permeates throughout South African society, in particular amongst the residents of Gauteng, being that this province is viewed by many as the economic hub of South Africa, can you talk me through the plans that the Department of Health is putting in place to address this vaccine hesitancy, to raise more awareness about the vaccine, to encourage more people to visit their nearest vaccine station to get themselves vaccinated?
Before I venture to respond to you, I hope you will invite Dr. Chikovu, who is our lead in the vaccination program in Gauteng, who is more than expected, myself. But remember, we had what they call the Vuma weekend, which intended to ensure that there's a huge uptake. There's what we call pop-up vaccine sites, and in collaboration with, you know, with partners in the private sector and retailers. So, and I mean, so that's what we have been doing, and we'll continue to do that. You're aware that vaccine hesitancy is not unique to South Africa. It is an international challenge, but we will have to continue to work on that, given what scares our populations and our communities on social media and so on. But we are continuing, and I'm glad that I had your advert on VOW radio that encourages our population to vaccinate. And over and above the vaccination, of course, we have to continue to be vigilant and non-complacent. Your NPI, masks, social distancing, you know, wash your hands with soap and clean water, sanitize, ventilation wherever you are, avoid unnecessary crowds. So it is a continuum of vaccination encouragement to our population, to our people, to our community, to our friends and relatives. And they tell you also excited that there's this Sonke Phase 2 that gives a booster dose to the healthcare workers that received the Johnson & Johnson during the Sonke 1. Now we've got the second Sonke. And there's discussions around the booster dose for the Pfizer 1. So it is continuous work. It is continuous improvement. We cannot give up. We cannot despair. We will have to continue to engage. There are media reports all the time to enhance the notion from our community. We travel on the M1, you see billboards that have also been collaborated with the Department of Health to encourage our relatives and friends, neighbors, communities.
All right. Just really quickly before I address my third question towards you, Doctor, if I could kindly ask you to slightly move your mouth away from the receiver of the device you're using to communicate with us, just so that we can hear you a lot clearly. And as you go about doing that, I think I can hear you a lot better now. Well, I'll proceed with my next question. Can you talk me through the strategies that the Department of Health has put in place and adopted to try and ensure that the vaccination program is sustained and remains sustainable? And could you also talk me through the need and whether or not the Department of Health recognizes any kind of need for small guaranteed rewards or any kind of incentives for vaccinated people and those who wish to visit their vaccination sites to be a part of the population that is vaccinated? Have they taken into consideration any kind of incentives to encourage people to go and get vaccinated? And how do the Department of Health plan to implement these strategies?
Let me start with the incentives. I think the incentives, we would not really be having a budget for the incentives, but we are aware that there have been partners that have come up with ideas of incentives. You've heard of companies that will give you a voucher or this or that to incentivize you. Our concentration as a Department of Health, it is our duty, it's our mandate as a Department of Health to provide vaccination for our community. It is our work. So the message that we will send to our communities is, please vaccinate. We are here. We are trained. We have the resources that have been supplied by government and partners, and supported by, for example, the Solidarity Fund on some level. To say, sir, dear madam, dear friend, please come and be vaccinated. But we would support invariably all those other efforts that are done by members of the community, business, NGOs, or benevolent, citizens to incentivize our population our communities, our friends and relatives to vaccinate. But we would not really budget for incentives because we need that budget to make sure that we fund the vaccination. And we have a team that monitors vaccination daily on the EVDM to see how many vaccines have been administered, to discuss challenges, either transportation, either the cold chain, pop-up sites, collaboration with partners, with business, with benevolent citizens of our country. So that's what we have. But the attitude is not to give up, to remain focused, to remain determined, and to remain committed to making sure that those vaccines are administered to our population.
All right. Now, Doctor, when the third wave hit South Africa in June, hospitals ran out of beds and we witnessed various health facilities running short of staff. Can you talk me through the ways in which the Department of Health has put strategies in place to prevent this happening should the fourth wave arrive? I know you touched on it briefly at the top of our discussion, but I would like for you to expound a bit on the plans that the Department of Health has put in place to make sure that this fourth wave, should it arrive, does not hit the front line as ferociously as the third wave hit it?
I think the issue that we ran out of beds, it's a misnomer. It's a misnomer based on the experiences of congestions that people experience in accident and emergencies. Remember, with COVID, our triage system is more enhanced than our triage system before COVID. And when individuals come into the hospital, you don't want to mix COVID-positive patients with non-COVID patients. So it did create a lot of congestion in our extreme emergencies. It did create a lot of, you know, discomfort. And that is why it was interpreted as that we ran out of beds. We never ran out of beds. When you deal with the force of the third wave, which we did not expect that it would be so harsh. That's why our prayers is that the fourth wave should not be. But we have got what we call a risk-adjusted demand-informed strategy, which is based on clinical risk management and clinical decisions. So for us to do the third wave, to go up to 4,407 beds, because we started the baseline of about 2,000 when the wave began, but that would increase the number of beds as the demand comes. Because remember, Gauteng Health has got about 18,000 beds. And out of the 18,000 beds, we have 4,407 currently dedicated for COVID. Because we are not the Department of COVID, the Department of Health. We still have to do other activities. But when the wave hits you very hard, you defer some of the operations, you defer some of the activities, you reduce the visitations, and invariably, it creates a lot of congestion in an emergency, and you start having a huge challenge. Of course, we don't have as many ICU beds in the public sector compared to the private sector, but we have established a number of beds that have got ICU and high-tech capacity in what we call alternative building technology facilities. In Kristiani Barra, we're about 400 beds that are functionalized. But you always respond according to the patient that is in front of you. Yes, we are aware of the frustration that created and the discomfort that it created, but we cannot allow that to make us panic beyond recognition. We cannot allow that to make us despair. We are still, sure at the moment that we are ready for the fourth wave. We cannot confirm how it's going to behave. There's some prediction that it will be less than the third wave, which is wonderful. But despite this wonderful information from the scientists and models, the fourth wave, the same strategy, it will be risk-adjusted, demand-informed. And it will be clinically based on decisions, and it will be the management of risk in terms of healthcare and clinical governance. Not easy. It has never been easy. It will never be easy. But we are committed as a cohort because it's our job. It's our duty. It's what we pay mandated to preserve the health of our community.
And I guess to that end then, Doctor, to conclude our discussion, considering everything that we already know about this vaccine in terms of its varying levels of efficacy, in terms of how much it will protect us against this virus, considering everything we know about how many South Africans have been fully vaccinated, I did mention that the number currently stands at over 13 million fully vaccinated South Africans, more than 23.1 million people. People, including as the adolescents, have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. In preparation of this fourth wave, of the arrival of this fourth wave, and with the advent of what I'm sure is going to be the conversations surrounding the lifting of, or should I say, the increasing of lockdown levels, how will, from a medical perspective, how will the portion of the South African population that has been vaccinated be factored into these decisions that are made as far as what level of lockdown we will need to rise to in order to combat this fourth wave as and when slash if it arrives? And how will this this decision be taken as far as taking into account the still very present degree of vaccine hesitancy in South Africa specifically, and the more than likely negative response that rising lockdown levels will be received with? So please talk me through, at least from a very medical perspective, because I am aware of the fact that these lockdown, these restriction rising conversations are conversations that have to be had from a leadership perspective. Government has to be involved, but the medical opinion also has to be factored in. So can you talk me through, at the very least from a medical perspective, how this part of the fight against this pandemic will be navigated?
It's a very difficult question that you've asked. But remember, the International Corona Command Council that makes the decision, the family meeting with the presidency that makes the decisions on the lockdown, it's a contested space. And the economic imperatives, the social imperatives, tourism imperatives, and so on and so forth. However, you know, we from the health perspective, we see the lockdown as a major attempt to reduce transmission, to reduce unnecessary trauma in our communities. We see that as a way of being more focused on dealing with the pandemic. But like I indicated, it's not an easy space. You still have economic imperatives that are there. So one will always depend on the National Corona Command Council, led by the presidency, to make those final decisions that we have experienced that the lockdowns, the heavy ones, they assist in the reduction of unnecessary admissions, and the vaccines, we know they reduce hospitalizations and also reduce mortality, they reduce deaths. So that is why we encourage our communities to please continue to vaccinate and keep to the NPIs, social distance, don't have unnecessary trips or congestions and so on. And we're very uncomfortable with the waves, but we can't run away. We'll have to face it and do the best that we can to protect and to save the lives of our communities. So your question is not an easy one, but I hope I've been able to make an attempt to respond.
And I appreciate the attempt. Thank you very much. Dr. Khongwana, representing the Gauteng Department of Health, talking to us here on the COVID Report about the Department of Health's readiness to tackle the fourth wave, if/when it arrives. It is slated and predicted to hit the country in December of 2021 into January 2022. And Dr. Khongwana was talking us through the plans that have been put in place to help us combat this fourth wave with the advent of the COVID-19 vaccine considered in the efforts that have been put in place. Doctor, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for the insight that you have given us into the Gauteng Department of Health's plans. And I personally hope that the situation is a little more palatable if and when it hits our shores in December of this year. So again, thank you so much for your time, Doctor.
Thank you very much. We keep the hope.
This podcast was brought to you by Voice of Vids. To hear more of our shows, tune in to 88.1 or stream via www.vofm.co.za.